Hello and welcome to the Polymath Podcast with Miss Nisha. This is episode 3. Guys, I am so excited to come back on here with you guys for a third episode. We are moving forward in Jesus' name. All right, so last week we spoke about what is in your hands. It was just a time for us to reflect, you know, on what God has placed in our hands. It could be things that we may have overlooked over the years because we thought that they weren't significant. And we looked at scriptures in Matthew, Exodus 4 and Exodus 14. And we also looked at the book of Kings, where we were looking at the story of the woman who her child was going to be taken because her husband had died and she was in debt. But the Lord would have placed in her hands the ability to produce, and because of that ability, the very oil that she thought was her last, you know, became the very thing that God used to give her wealth. All right, guys, so this week we will be looking at preserving greatness. And for those who know me know that I have published one of my books is surrounding the title of Preserving Greatness, Stewarding Purpose, A Daily Propulsion Towards Intentional Living. It is available on Amazon. You can just type my name in, Nisha Sibley, or you can put the title of the book in. Again, it is called Preserving Greatness, Stewarding Purpose, A Daily Propulsion Towards Intentional Living. All right, so we'll be looking at stewarding purpose, because once we have identified what the Lord has placed in our hands, it is important that we preserve it. And we serve a great God. God doesn't call us to be inferior and to operate in false humility, because we have people like that in the body of Christ today. They fail to accept, you know, what the Lord is calling them into because they want to seem humble and meek. That is not meekness. That's false humility. And so I hope that's not the narrative for anyone. Again, we'll be looking at the topic preserving greatness, and we'll have part 1, part 2, part 3 as we go through this great manuscript. All right, and I'm going to read the introduction of my book, and it says, "What have you done with your life thus far? How have you been managing the gifts and the talents that God has given to you? On average, how much of your time is spent fulfilling the goals of friends, families, or bosses versus fulfilling the goals and the dreams that God has given to you? If your response to these questions were all favorable, then it means you are on the right track. But if they're not, it means you have some work to do. God has purposefully equipped you to do great things. What He has given to you are not just random thoughts and ideas. You were created with a God-sealed mandate, specifically assigned for you to carry out. Though life may get busy at times, as a steward, it is your responsibility to carefully manage the gifts and talents given to you, because God will hold you accountable. You may not have to answer to God in this present moment, but you will have to give an account someday. The only thing that separates now and eternity is time. So what will you do with your time? No excuses will be accepted then. No excuses will be beneficial then. The privilege you have now is to make the best of your time by doing what God has called you to do. And today's a great day to start. All that you need to fulfill your God-given mandate has already been given to you. You just need to discover it. There is no doubt that you were born to be great and to do great things. In fact, the God that you serve is a great God. And since you are an heir of His kingdom, you already possess the seed of greatness. Did you know that? It was molecular biologist and medical researcher Oswald Avery who in 1944 discovered that DNA transmits heredity. Geneticist Macklin McCarthy, was also a part of Avery's discovery, referred to DNA as being the material of inheritance. This is quite an interesting description because the Bible tells us in Romans 8:17 that we were indeed co-heirs or co-inheritors, if you'll have it, with Christ Jesus. This means that we have the privilege through Christ Jesus to partake of the greatness from our eternal benefactor, God, who made us eternal beneficiaries. I believe that those born of Christ have spiritual genes coded with the letters G-R-E-A-T within them. Therefore, it is important that we preserve this greatness on our lives at all costs. For us to manifest greatness, we must first believe it. While manifestation will not take place by solely believing, your belief plays a crucial role in the process. After believing what the Word of God says about you, you will undoubtedly be motivated to preserve the greatness on your life. And that is what this great book is about. The word preservation is oftentimes misused or misunderstood. So let us break down the meaning of preservation. Preservation is not solely safekeeping, but it is also protecting the content and value of something of high quality in order to sustain its durability and functionality. When food scientists add preservatives to food, it is to ensure it stays fresh and in good condition, free of all microbes or contaminants that could possibly make it bad. According to Science Direct, preservatives are added to food to prevent it from deterioration, enzymes, and microorganisms. Two of the most common preservatives are potassium sorbate and ascorbic acid. If you were to inspect the ingredients in your food, you'd see the word sorbate on most of them. This is because potassium sorbate helps to inhibit the growth of yeast, mold, and fungi. By stopping the growth of these organisms, potassium sorbate prolongs the shelf life of the food. Guys, like food, there are valuable qualities within us that should be preserved from any microorganisms in our environment that could potentially deteriorate, spoil, or reduce the shelf life of our gifts and abilities. Think about it. Preservation prolongs longevity. It creates a hedge of protection around things we deem valuable. No one preserves something that is detrimental to their life and well-being. Once we realize the value of something and how much it can be of benefit to us, our natural reaction is to protect it and keep it close. This is how we should approach greatness. All of us were created to be great, to do great things, and to be known among the great. After all, our Heavenly Father is great and He calls us to be like Him. One of the things I have noticed in my life over the years is that many people tend to be intimidated by my ambition and sometimes classified as pride or haughtiness. Many times I've had to wrestle internally with the magnitude of thoughts bombarding my mind while having to contend with my environment that repeatedly bellows, "It's too big of a dream, it won't work." I have tried thinking small on many occasions. But to be honest with you, my attempts failed every time. Mediocrity and I could not cohabitate. Although I tried, time confirmed that we were indeed mutually exclusive. Having discovered this, I made up in my mind that I would never shrink to fit in because guess what? I was born to stand out anyway. Today, so many people have walked away from their true purpose because they allow the voices from their environment to live rent-free in their minds, slowly diluting the once concentrated vision that God has placed within them. Do not let that be your narrative. Though many of us fall victim to this, the awakening truth is that no one can do what God has called you to do like you can. Yes, there are many preachers, teachers, singers, leaders, but only you can preach, teach, sing, and lead the way that God has created you to. God has put that burden or desire in your heart for a purpose. He gave the vision to you, not your environment. Whether your environment is your parent, spouse, best friend, relative, boss, or other person of influence, the reason they may not be able to see the vision and feel as passionate about it as you are is because they were not the ones God placed the burden on. You were. He created a problem specifically for you to solve. You carry the solution within you. So guys, we'll just pause right there for this week. So far, we've looked at what preservation really means. And just as we had looked at the example with what food scientists do with preservatives to ensure that food have a longer shelf life, it is the same principle that applies to us and our gifts and abilities. Like whatever it is that God has given to you, we need to preserve it. Whatever preserving greatness looks like for you, feel free to comment and let me know. You know, I believe that the Lord is raising up people in this time and in this season where many of us will have to make some drastic decisions to protect our greatness, to protect our gifts and our talents and our abilities, you know, at all costs. And that's really what this podcast is about. Again, this is a Polymath podcast with Miss Nisha. I'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye.